to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcourty.
And I'm Shirley Heyman.
Now, this week on The Parent Show, we're talking about babies being born prematurely, or premies as they're sometimes called. Now, how do we deal with them being in hospital, and what do we do when we bring our babies home, and what are the effects on children of being born early, to whatever extent they are born early, and can they still reach the milestones at the same time as full-term babies? What support is out there for parents to do to provide the best care for their babies?
And as ever, we've tried to bring you the best guests we can get here. We're going to be speaking tonight to Dr. Sue Laurent, who's a consultant paediatrician and the author of Your Premature Baby. And we're also planning to speak to Zoe Chivers, who's working for the UK charity Bliss. And they try to provide the best possible care for and support for all premature and sick babies, and of course their families too. However, what we'd like to do first of all tonight is speak to a local mum who's called Sally Ripley. And we recorded this interview earlier this week with Sally, and Sally's going to share with us her experience of having had a premature baby, in fact her fourth child, giving birth to that baby prematurely.
Now, I'm joined by Sally Ripley, who is a local mum in St Albans and who is joining us on The Parent Show this evening.
Hello, Lydia.
How are you, Sally?
I'm absolutely fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good, good. Now, Sally, tell us a little bit about your story. We're talking about premature babies tonight.
Yes.
And you have had one of your four children was born premature.
Yeah, it was my fourth and last child was premature. He was born at just under 28 weeks. This was he's now four and a half, so he's now doing well. Yeah.
And what kind of an experience? How was the birth and the subsequent months afterwards for you?
Well, I knew the baby was going to be premature because my waters went at 20 weeks. So the fact that I was going to have a premature baby wasn't a shock to me. When I actually had him, it was a big shock because the birth was over and done with in about half an hour. He was very, very sick and immediately whipped off to intensive care. I didn't see him for some hours after that.
Quite a traumatic start.
Yes, it was awful. That was absolutely awful. Yeah.
And how long did he spend in hospital?
Well, he was born on February the 13th, and he finally came home at the end of May. He had 9 weeks in probably about 6 weeks in intensive care, and then the rest of the time in high dependency and special care.
And tell us a little bit about your time with him in hospital as a parent. How did you get through that?
As I've said to you, I spent an awful lot of time on breast pumps because you really need something to do. A lot of the time your baby is lying just desperately trying to grow and breathe. You need something to do, but you want to be nearby. All special care units have breast pump rooms. And that's where a lot of women spend their time, pumping breast milk that they hope they will be able to give to their baby soon, one day. But also those are places of great camaraderie between mothers who are going through similar experiences. And a lot of friendships are built in there. So they were very important places in special care units.
Go on, tell our listeners what you call it.
I always used to call it the cow shed, with the milking machines.
Yeah. But I suppose everybody, you've got to find your way to cope in a situation like that, because you're away from your family. If it's not your first child, you're away from your family, your normal environment for the whole time. I assume you were live-in for most of it.
Hugo was in a hospital in South London for the first 9 weeks. So we were very lucky. We were given some accommodation near the hospital by a charity, a fantastic charity called the Ronald McDonald Hospital Charity, who basically funds accommodation for parents of very sick children. And we were lucky that we were in a hospital that had some accommodation. So I was only a minute's walk away from the ward for 9 weeks. But obviously I had three other kids at home, so I did have to every couple of days go back home to see them. So it was a real juggling act at that point. And then he came to a hospital nearer home, but that was still 7 or 8 miles away. That was at Watford. So the juggling continued for many weeks.
And do you have any, I mean, if parents are listening and if they've, you know, if they know their baby is going to be premature, or can you tell us how do you cope with that juggling? Are there any tips you have from your experience, Sally?
Well, you're not going to be able to do anything else other than just about keep everybody fed and going. So don't try to do anything else. Accept all offers of help, particularly with your other children. But, you know, if you do have other kids, get them up to the hospital as much as possible to get used to the baby and so that they feel a part of it as well. I think that's important.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't have thought of that. I just think, you know, it's parents' responsibility, but of course, if you have other children, involving them is really important too.
Yeah, it is. Otherwise, they think that the baby is this thing that's taking their mum and dad away, and that it's untouchable because it's so delicate and precious and has all these tubes in it. Get your other children holding this tubed up baby as quickly as you can.
Great. And when you came home from hospital, how have things been? Obviously, your son is 4 and a half now. I mean, it didn't happen yesterday. Can you run us through him reaching milestones and how you've been doing coping with that?
I really wish I could give you some accurate feedback on that. A lot of it is a blur. You very quickly get used to the fact that they're not going to be doing things at the same time as other babies. But some things they're doing earlier. I mean, I was advised to wean Hugo very early because he needed the calories, which is not the advice that's given to normal babies. So I was weaning him when he was still having oxygen, so he still had a breathing tube. He was minute. He was about 6 pounds, and I was weaning him. And sometimes I was sitting in Morrison's Cafe with this tiny baby with an oxygen tube sort of spooning carrot into his mouth, and I could see people looking at me and thinking, she's mad. Yeah. What is she doing?
Call the health visitor quickly.
But that was the advice I was given. So actually Hugo was weaned way before any of my other kids.
Gosh.
But that was what he needed. But that's not advice for babies in general. That was just the advice I was given.
Yeah. And tell me, like, starting nursery, your son is starting school in September. Yes. How was starting nursery? Did you have to take any special considerations?
Yeah, I've been anxious all along the way about him starting anything new, and I'm sure all parents of premature kids would say they felt the same. You feel that your child is behind, and in a lot of ways they are. But also being with their contemporaries is the best possible thing for them, I think. Just my advice would be to ask questions, make a fuss. Even if your premature child doesn't appear to, there's nothing actually tangible. They're not actually a special needs child. Talk to the care provider. Share your anxieties because they're. For example, I mean, I'm very anxious about my son starting school because of his problems with concentration, which I know a lot of four-year-olds share, premature or not. But the school have been very supportive and have listened to my concerns. That would be my advice.
And what support is there out there for you, Sally? Who can you turn to if you have any issues?
I mean, Hugo's still being seen by a paediatrician at the Children's Centre, which is massively helpful. We only see her about 3 times a year, but she's very, very supportive. And there is also the charity Bliss. Although I never actually contacted Bliss, they're a very big presence in special care units. They have a lot of literature lying around, which is massively helpful, particularly in the cow shed where you're sitting for hours on end. So I read most of their leaflets and magazines cover to cover, and it's full of useful and supportive information. So they're a charity that's very much there for parents of premature babies.
Excellent. And Sally, any concerns that you have, that you, would you like any advice or any, because we're going to be talking to Dr. Sue Laurent later in the show, and to Bliss actually. So anything, any concerns that you'd like to share, kind of ask them about?
I suppose, like with all parents of premature kids, you never quite know how things are going to play out in the long run. Even though Hugo's 4.5 now, I still don't really know what effect, and neither does the medical establishment. I still don't really know what effect that birth and that early trauma is going to have on him in the long run. Testimonials from adults or older kids who were premature, that's very helpful. A lot of hospitals have letters and things on the wall from ex-patients. That's all very helpful and comforting, and makes you feel that there is light at the end of the tunnel. So, yes.
That's great. Sally Ripley, thanks a million for sharing your experience with us.
Thank you for asking me on the show, Lydia.
And so that was Lydia's interview earlier in the week with local mummy Sally Ripley. And, you know, how great was that Sally shared that story with us? And I'm sure really encouraging for anybody else who is in that situation at the moment.
92.6 FM.
So let's push on with the show, and the next guest we have is on the phone tonight, and that's going to be Dr. Sue Laurent. Sue is a mother of three herself, and she's a consultant paediatrician at Barnet and Chase Farm Hospital. She's a medical advisor, and she's also actually a regular presenter on the Baby Channel and a consultant for Mother and Baby magazine. And if that wasn't enough, she's also the author of a book, Your Premature Baby. Good evening, Sue. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here, yes.
Hi.
I've been listening in.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, you were listening to Sally, I guess, were you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sue, I mean, we heard some really interesting and personal things from Sally. In your kind of profession and your experience, what do you think are the likely kind of effects that the family and the baby, he or herself, are going to sort of suffer or be putting up with, you know?
Well, I think that, you know, what Sally describes so clearly is what goes through the minds of parents when they land up on a neonatal unit, and you know, what's going to happen in the long run. And we can't say initially what's going to happen. And as Sally said, that as the child grows older, it becomes clearer and clearer if there are going to be any significant problems or not.
Okay.
But the two factors, I suppose, which make problems more likely are how prematurely the baby is born. So, you know, the very, very limits of life really are about 23 weeks gestation.
Right.
Of whom most babies born 23 weeks gestation will sadly die. Whereas when you get up to about 27, 28 weeks gestation, the vast majority of babies will survive and will be fine. So that the actual gestation is hugely important, and also how ill a baby is when they're born, whether they have any serious infections, any serious lung damage. And in particular, we do ultrasound scans of the brain. And so if there's any evidence of a serious hemorrhage in the brain, all those factors will help give you a little bit more information about what happened in the long run.
Sue, and does being prem always mean the baby will definitely have developmental issues?
Not at all. No, not at all. And in fact, I mean, well, you know, our expertise in managing premature babies is improving all the time. So yes, the babies who are born very prematurely are more likely to have significant problems. But the majority of babies who are born at sort of 27, 28 weeks onwards will not have significant problems.
That's great news for parents out there, because I think people do associate prematurity with missing milestones and having developmental problems.
Yes, and in fact, you know, obviously because they're prematurity, we always take that into account when babies are born, so we always talk about their corrected age. So, if, for example, if a baby's 3 months old, but actually they were born 3 months prematurely, their corrected age is term.
Oh,
and
okay.
So you have to sort of remember that they're just really a term baby, and therefore you wouldn't expect them to be smiling yet, and you wouldn't expect them to be doing various things. But amazingly, quite often, babies will smile before you'd expect them to, because they've been, you know, they do a bit of catching up. And that description that Sally said of you know, starting solids earlier, and just, you know, just being able to take those solids is quite amazing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Sue, what would your advice be to parents then if they've got a premature baby? You know, what can they actually do themselves to care for the baby when it's in the hospital?
Well, I'll tell you, because I think this is really, really important. That's why I wrote the book, because
right.
I was very aware of exactly what Sally says, that lots of parents, you know, they hang on to other parents' stories. They look at all the photographs we've got around our neonatal unit.
Mm.
They read parent testimonials, and they want to know, what can I do? Because you feel it. Everything's taken away from you. Your role as a parent, other than being a cow, as she describes it, everything else is taken away. But there's actually lots you can do. So you're right, from very early on, with many babies, you can actually have them out to cuddle them. And if you can't have them out to cuddle them, you can stroke them, touch them, talk to them, sing to them, read to them, ask the nurses if you can do some of their care, like changing nappies, that sort of thing. So be as involved as you possibly can be. And the other thing that we know a lot more about now is that babies really respond well to being kept in a sort of very calm atmosphere. So they're kept sort of warm and it's quiet. And we know that their development is vastly improved than if we all go clunking around in bright lights.
Mm.
So you'll notice lots of neonatal units nowadays are rather somber places and rather quiet places, with parents doing as much as they possibly can.
That's fantastic. So, I mean, I think you're probably dispelling a lot of myths for listeners, Dr. Laurent. I mean, it's great to know, and it's great to hear that parents can be proactive in caring for their children.
Yeah, and often they feel very, very, well, understandably, very, very nervous. And, you know, quite often they're separated from their baby by perspex, because the baby's in an incubator. But you know, the nurses will show them how, obviously, you've got to be very careful with cleanliness, so you have to be very careful with hand gelling and that sort of thing. But parents can get much more involved, probably, than they would imagine.
And so what would you advise parents to do who have a premature baby? The important thing is
to find out as much as they possibly can about what goes on in the unit, so they can understand and feel that they really know what's happening. And very often, you know, who is looking after my baby? How can I get to speak to the right person? For example, the nurses are often brilliant at explaining what's happening, and the junior doctor's very good at explaining what's happening, but sometimes they might want to talk to a consultant for an update. So just finding out about that. Every unit runs in a slightly different way. Sometimes parents are there through all the ward rounds. Sometimes parents come in one at a time. Some units have parents accommodation for everybody, but very few do. And so, as Sally described, you know, some parents have to go home and come and go. So it's important just to find out as much as possible about how the unit runs and how they can play their part.
So do you think that the units are kind of appreciative that, you know, often the grandparents are wanting to get involved from an early stage? You know, do they let them come in?
Yes, absolutely, yes. And, you know, whilst they don't, usually most units don't want to have lots of people around the baby at the same time, they are very happy for other members of the family to come with the parents' permission.
Mm.
And you know, if doctors are speaking to parents about what's happening with the baby, they're very happy to speak to parents with grandparents as well. But they're always quite cautious about speaking to grandparents on their own and giving them updates, because obviously you don't want to get mixed messages going home. So it's, you know, but we're very welcoming of grandparents and of siblings.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
That was quite a surprise from what Sally said, you know, to get in and kind of navigate the tubes to cuddle your little brother or sister. I was really surprised.
Exactly.
I didn't, but of course it makes absolute sense.
Yes.
Get them.
And we, you know, it's very important that dads feel involved as well. And one of the things that we encourage a lot of with the babies once they're stable enough is what we call skin to skin or kangaroo care. And when you can shove the baby down right against the parent's skin under their clothes and cuddle them up really close And that's very good for the baby and really good for the parents.
That's fantastic. Dr. Sue Lauren, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And we'll be Facebooking the name. It's Your Premature Baby, and it's available pretty widespread, isn't it?
Like, and it's got lots of parent stories and lots of fabulous photographs.
That's great. Thank you very much for joining us this
evening. That's a pleasure.
Bye-bye. All the best.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, we're talking tonight about premies or premature babies, and we've just been speaking to Dr. Sue Laurent and earlier on the show to Sally Ripley, who's a mum who has been through the whole experience herself.
Yeah, and so, you know, as we always say, we're trying to get the best people we can to share their experience with you. So now we're going to speak to Zoe Chivers, who, as we said before, is working for the UK charity Bliss. Good evening, Zoe.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. Thank you so much for joining us. Zoe, can you just start by kindly telling us what kind of work does Bliss do?
Well, Bliss, basically, we sort of believe that all premature babies should have the best possible start in life. And so we offer support for families. We also campaign for better care and staffing on neonatal units. We support research, and we also put into place support for health professionals so that they can actually improve the care that they deliver to families on neonatal units as well.
Right. Can anybody access your services? Are they completely free? You know, can you just tell us a little
bit
about that?
They are absolutely free. The services that we offer to families are to anybody who is affected by having a premature baby. So that can be mum, dad, partners, that can be older siblings, that can be grandparents. Anybody in the extended family can come and contact us for any of their needs. We have a helpline, which is open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday, and I can give that number to you later. And
thank
we also
you.
Are able to offer email advice as well. So it's open to anybody, and it is free of charge. Sally mentioned earlier that we do offer a huge array of publications, which go from breastfeeding to weaning to going home on oxygen, what the experience will be like on a neonatal unit for any gestational age of your baby as well. And they are all accessible free of charge as well. So they can be ordered by the neonatal unit so that they're on the unit, or can be downloaded from our website.
And can you tell us a little bit, Zoe, about what kind of things people would email or call in about on the helpline, because just to guide our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, often it can be at any stage of the neonatal journey. So sometimes we get calls from parents who, well, invariably the partner, their partner has got into premature labour and want to sort of know what potentially may happen to their baby. They may have just arrived on the neonatal unit and it's all a bit of a shock for them. Quite often parents are ringing us not really knowing what to say, really not knowing what to do. They're very confused about what's been going on, simply because it's sort of such an unexpected scenario for them to be in. And then at various different stages of their journey, so you know, there's the one thing about being admitted onto the neonatal unit, support that we offer around breastfeeding advice. You know, the breastfeeding and expressing is a big, big issue for parents, because this is the sort of the one role that they really can do. There are often questions about the types of care that's being delivered, how involved they can be with their babies, why potentially they're being transferred. And then when it comes to sort of nearing the time to go home and being discharged, there's often questions around actually, oh my god, this is a new phase for us, we're going to have to take a sort of a brand new baby home, but you know, the baby may be 2-3 months old by this stage, and it brings in a whole other set of questions. And equally, we still get phone calls when the child may be 9, 10, 15, 16 years old.
Wow.
Looking at, you know, actually, what are the long-term effects? Mm. Could this be caused by prematurity? So we take calls over a very, very wide wide range.
That's just amazing. I didn't realise you'd be supporting them, you know, right into teenage years. So.
Yeah, well, I think, as Sally was saying in her interview, you know, a lot of the outcomes are really unknown. There's a little bit of research that's gone into looking at the outcomes, but this is only something that's sort of been picked up over the last few years. And obviously, you have to go through that time frame with those children. So, people ring for all sorts of reasons, and whether they've made the right choices about things as well. So, yes, we try to accommodate as many calls as we possibly can.
Is there anything to, I mean, I'm just thinking if I were a parent and, you know, you're always kind of hesitant to reach out for help. Mm. Is there any, like, can you call about the simplest thing? Is there any kind of limit to what you can ask?
No, not at all. I mean, sometimes it could be the most innocuous question that you think you're asking, but actually it could be the most powerful thing. I mean, often, like Sue was saying, around getting involved with nappy changing. You know, some parents, that's not always the most easiest thing for parents to get involved with. You know, they almost have to give themselves permission to do that, even though the healthcare professionals are encouraging them to do that. So often we take phone calls from people going, you know, is that okay for me to do that? Because these babies are so tiny and so precious. They just need reassurance from someone external to the medical team around their baby. But actually being able to do that is incredibly powerful for that parent, because that's what a traditional parent should be doing for their baby. And sometimes parents can really struggle with that. So from the smallest things to deeper questions, they can call us. Obviously, we don't get involved in any sort of medical questions or any medical conditions about their baby specifically, because that would be down to the medical team. But any issue that they may be worried about or just sort of feeling very upset about, we're here to listen and signpost you appropriately.
Zoe, sort of thinking now of the people that are actually working, you know, your colleagues or the other volunteers, mm-hmm. I mean, often, if you don't mind me asking, are they the kind of people that have been through this experience themselves and want to support others?
We do have a huge number of volunteers, and often the volunteers that do come to us are those who have had an experience of having a premature baby within their family, whether they be aunts, uncles or grandmothers.
Right.
And we have those opportunities to sort of set up buddying schemes so that parents can talk to like-minded parents, because one of the big issues is that parents often feel very, very isolated, particularly when they've gone home, because they will have missed sort of traditional sort of antenatal classes where those informal sort of networks would have been made. But also we have volunteering roles for people who haven't gone through this experience but may just want to help, and you can be a sort of a local champion where you'd be signposting about local services and making sure the local unit has our publications, and you can be a sort of a fundraising champion in that area as well. So you just sort of represent Bliss on the ground. So although a lot of our volunteers do come with that experience, because a lot of people don't know that this actually can happen, we do have an increasing number of volunteers who are just interested in supporting the work that we do, who don't come with any experience.
And so we do Bliss provide any help in terms of the actual birth, because I suppose quite often having a baby prematurely is associated with a relatively traumatic birth, and do you provide any counselling or any support about that?
Yeah, we do offer a counselling referral, a referred counselling service. In terms of the counselling that we offer, it's sort of across the range of the experience of having a premature birth, and obviously the birth itself can be very, very quick. It can be very, very sudden, very, very unexpected. Or in Sally's instance, she knew that because her waters had broken early, you know, she was going to get to a certain gestation and then the baby would be delivered. And it's a very traumatic period. So there is a level of counselling that we can offer to parents, because we know that it's not just the birth that's the traumatic bit. It's actually having the baby on a neonatal unit and the sort of, you know, the change in normality and sort of the altered parent experience for them, which is, you know, can cause some sort of lifelong issues, and sort of, you know, these memories stay with these parents for a very long time. So counselling is a key part of that.
Yeah, in fact, Zoe, that's one of the reasons we wanted to do the show, you know, thinking about how these memories can stay with families. I mean, it's clearly a really valuable service that you're offering. I mean, who pays for it?
Well, we're a charity, so it's the people who would go out there, and there are probably a few people running the streets tonight who are already sort of preparing themselves for the Great South Run, the marathon. We do, particularly over the summer months, we do a huge amount of buggy pushes, so local mums and dads organise buggy pushes, skydives, all sorts of things. But yes, we're a charity that is mainly supported by fundraising rather than sort of any other sort of statutory funding itself.
So if we've got mums listening, you know, in St Albans, Harpenden, surrounding area, mm-hmm. who, you know, what do they do? Do they just type in bliss to Google, or who do they call?
Well, you can call our helpline, which is 0500 618 140. We also have a website, which is bliss.org.uk, and we take any call at any time, so please do give us a call. The helpline is obviously only open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m, but if anybody's interested in raising any money for us, please do give us a call, drop us an email, and we will certainly get back to you, because we really do value the support that people offer. Because we wouldn't be able to do what we can do in terms of helping families like Sarah and deliver the publications that we do if people didn't pound those streets for us.
That's great. So we thank you so much for joining us this evening, and we'll post all your website and all your details on our Facebook page. So hopefully you'll have a little surge of activity and support from West Hertfordshire after the show.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good evening.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.